Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by one of my co-hosts so far, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Only one, huh? I wonder where the other one could be off to.
He is actually at work and is running a little late, but he will be here very soon, he says. So.
Okay, good. Good, good. Big show tonight.
Yeah, a very big show. I'm very excited because this is actually one of my favorite people from the Tough Enough show. Of course, Rima is my favorite. I mean, that's not even a question. But, you know, old skid marks are very entertaining. And
yeah,
I think in a way he was kind of screwed just because of his style from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you remember the Charlie Hoff interview where he said that they don't like guys playing up to the crowd? And
right.
I'll give an example on one of the episodes. Ryan Skidmarks is getting in the ring and he trips and he sold it like a goof would sell it, like, you know, trying to be funny, but
yeah,
you know, I thought it was a good move, but they just threw him right out of the ring because they were just so pissed off about it because that's not how they do things. And you know,
yeah. The other thing is he was a little over, excuse the pun, he was a little over the top in his selling, and Mr. Perfect made a career out of that.
A lot of guys in Mexico have made careers out of that. I
right.
actually like the overselling. I mean, some guys aren't good at it. Some guys try too hard. And
right.
But, yeah, you know, I thought he was pretty decent. I mean, I thought he was better than, you know, a lot of the guys on the show. And as far as
definitely.
Look, he had... He probably had him and Bill Watts' illegitimate black son, Eric Watts, probably had the most look that stood out because of their hair.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, I mean, but then, like, I guess like Brian would say, you know, if they would have signed him, it'd be really short right now, and he'd look just like, you know,
yeah.
Teddy Biasi and Brian Daniels and Evan Bourne and everybody else.
Right. Yeah, they don't, the WWE doesn't have a lot of guys that, well, look different. I mean, back in the day, you had to have the long mullet and the hairy chest, and now it's the days of the metrosexual, the shaved chest and the short, dark haircut with extra product in it. And, well, it's times have changed.
Yeah, and I see that we are joined by our other co-host, so I've got him on here. What's going on, Couture?
Not much. What's going on?
It was fine.
It was fine. Okay.
I'm just glad to hear you're working because for the longest time it seemed like all you did was just kick back at home and get drunk.
I work 5 days a week.
Well, that's good. Very very happy
for several years now.
Oh,
Just because I don't, you know, I don't let anybody, everybody in on what my life is about, because I like to keep that in private.
Well, I'll let you guys in on a little bit of my life. I've been off for 2 months. I've been on unemployment and been working on my grandmother's house every day. So I've actually been working, but just not at my job. And I'm supposed to pick back up here in like the next week. So it's been really cool being my own boss for the last almost 2 months.
That's cool. I mean, you can't beat that. I'm just coming off of, I was supposed to be 2 weeks vacation, but I turned it into 2 weeks plus two more days vacation, and I finally went back to work on on Monday night. And so tonight's my last night of the week, so it'll be my third night. So I'm doing okay. Thank God I missed that Sunday, because I'm sure it would have killed me. But it's too bad we actually have to work. Too bad we had to hang out and push it on a radio show for 24/7 and get paid to do that.
Boy, if we could get paid to do this, then somebody would be a sucker, that's for sure.
I like how last week Granny kind of tried to sidestep my question I asked.
I was just surprised you finally answered it. But what time did you actually tell Ryan we were going to call Craig?
I told him we'd call about 10 after. We got a couple more minutes. Okay. We'll be actually seeing Granny this weekend. There's a big birthday / graduation party at Brian's house on Sunday, right before the TNA pay-per-view. So I'm pretty stoked because he's having a caterer do the food, and I've had catering food before. And it's pretty delicious.
Well, we talk about, you know, goes from fun times to shit, like in one day. He goes to this big party, and then you got to watch Slammiversary.
I don't have to watch it. I could leave right after the food is served, you know. But I'll probably stick around.
I'll be at work, so I don't have to watch it.
That show
You feel you got to go to a funeral, but you really want to go because afterwards, you know, there's going to be like a shitload of food. So.
It's going to be a wake. Hey, it's just that in reverse.
That's a pure redneck answer to that kind of question right there. But let's talk. We're going to be mainly talking about toughing up, or that's going to be a big part of the show.
Well, no, I never go to funerals. I just go for the food. I just don't go to the actual funeral. They show up afterwards. Church for the food.
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, as far as toughing up the actual show, it's actually been, I still haven't seen the second to last episode, but as far as like the series in itself, I mean, to me, it's been the most watched TV as far as wrestling or fighting that's been on all year, not maybe the past couple of years. I mean, you know, granted, you know, the majority of it's waiting for that last 15 minutes, you know, for Stone Cold. But, I mean, to me, this is a show that I've looked forward to watch and that I've watched repeatedly.
Yeah.
I've seen the last part of each episode multiple times on YouTube, you know, just because that's how awesome it is. And
it's the best use of Steve Austin, like, in years. It's, like, the perfect thing to use him for. He doesn't have to take any bump, but he can still just, like, fucking yell at people and be Steve Austin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like must-see TV, you know, a lot of things I'd DVR and catch later, but for the last few weeks, man, right at 5 o'clock my time, I'd be in front of the tube watching Tough Enough, and especially this last week, you know, I was really stoked to see who was going to win.
It was kind of weird. I mean, it's like, you know, you have the success of the TV show. I don't know how many of you I can really say success. I don't know what the ratings were or what they wanted or whatever. But for me, you know, as far as entertaining myself, I thought it was a success. And
absolutely.
Your big payoff is basically you put in a guy on the spot getting slapped by Vince McMahon to where
that was stupid.
He looks like an idiot for taking the bump. But if he doesn't take the bump, he's fired.
In general, to have Vince slap him, that made no. I could understand maybe the stunner, but Vince slapping, that didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, they buried
that.
I think
they're trying to see if he takes a bump or not. You know,
what
he did the right thing, even though he looked like an idiot.
is
he's no dummy. Of course, he's going to take the bump.
In the back before everything, they took Islanders and said they should announce the winner by being Steve Austin Stunner's loser. Wouldn't that be better?
Hmm. I'm sure they told both of them. I'm sure they told both of them that one of whoever wins is getting stunned. I'm sure they told him that. That slap looked totally out of left field, though.
Plus, who wouldn't want to see Luke get stunned?
Absolutely. I wanted to stun him.
Yeah, they really did make him look like he wasn't going to win, like just the way they started, where Andy's killing himself training with his very pregnant wife, coaching him on, and Luke's fucking drinking fucking Jack Daniels on the river.
The funniest part of the whole thing in the ring was when all the trainers were out there, and I just heard somebody scream to Bill DeMott, "Thanks for dressing up."
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then he said, "Thank you." He said, "You're welcome."
So you're welcome, yeah. Oh, goodness. All right, well, Eddie, why don't you go ahead and call Ryan?
I'm about to do that right now.
We'll banter amongst ourselves. Yeah, I was rooting for Andy to win. For the last 3 weeks, he's really, shown that he can do it. And so
ever since he got yelled at by Austin, I thought that was great. The ending of that show. That, to me, that's when he showed some personality and fire. Was that episode where he just got berated by Stone Cold? But
I'm not want the guy to. How can you not root for somebody whose pregnant wife is out there training them and stuff like that? I mean, that's.
Yeah, he looked like a beast when he was training, man. That was old Rocky style of training with
Meanwhile,
tires.
Luke out there skiing behind a boat and drinking beer,
drinking Jägermeister on a boat with some whores. Yeah,
I didn't like that. We lived the gimmick. Enough of their matches in SCW. I was kind of let down by that.
Yeah, I would like to have seen.
They just
more
told me
that,
maybe they
but...
were really bad. That's why they just. Had to piece them together as a show some of it, I guess.
Well, from the sounds of it, Luke's match was pretty bad. So, be nice to see exactly how bad it was. And I totally thought the same thing as Dave and Brian when we were talking about maybe Luke having a shoulder injury. He looked so small.
Yeah. Looked like wellness meeting.
Craig, could you introduce our guest, please?
Sure thing, Ed. Our guest tonight was a contestant on the last season of Tough Enough. You can call him Ryan. You can call him Diamond Steel. But only a 6'2", 300-pound Bill DeMott can get away with calling this man Skid Marks. Please welcome to the show, Ryan Howe.
Hey, guys. What's Ryan. Up?
Hey, Ryan. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. You hit that nail on the head, man. Only Bill.
Well, I'll let you in on a secret. I am, in fact, 6'2 and 300 pounds. So, but I'll do you the favor and leave that one alone.
All right. That sounds good. Yeah, we'll leave that be.
So, now Ryan, right, Ryan, before we get to the Tough Enough, I know you've been working for about 2 years now and using the Diamond name. What can you tell us about just the name? I mean, it sounds like such a cool name.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit. What's that last part? What can I say about what?
Tell us about the diamond name.
Oh, like how I came up with Diamond Steel?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. When I was playing with the band, full-time, I played in a band called Relapse, and it was just kind of a name that was given. Like we said, if we ever had aliases, that'd be something I used. And then they kind of made the comment, I said, well, I don't know if I used Diamond Steel. It just kind of came up and I said it'd probably be either if I was a wrestler or a porn star. So wrestling came first. So
now, am I way off base in saying that your gimmick has probably come from a band called Steel Panther?
No, not at all. Actually, that's I actually know that band, and I would not. I've never really thought of it. You know, as paralleling it, but I tried to do something that kind of embodied the. Everything, I guess, kind of a both aspects to everything from the 80s rock and roll to the late 80s wrestling, you know. So this is something I always liked and was passionate about. So
cool. And where did you get your start? What got you interested in wrestling? What were your what were the early beginnings of Diamond Steel?
Well, I got my start up in Northwest Indiana, Lake Station, Hammond area, with a group called NWWA, New Wave Wrestling Association. Rex Hart was the guy that ran it. He had done some job work for WWF back in the mid and late 90s. Really good guy to be a trainer, and there's some really good guys up there, too, that helped me learn. Now, the way I got into it, I'd heard of independent wrestling, but really didn't know what it was or anything about it. I mean, I'm talking all the way up to about 2 years ago. I was just torn with the band. After a show, some guy came up to me and, hey, you know, what's up? And you got a good look and a build. You ever think of wrestling? He told me about what independent wrestling was about, and I found the place up north, and they were the closest wrestling school to me. So sure enough, I got involved and fell in love with it. So. My only complaint about music, I played guitar since I was 5. I played like 27 instruments, and that's been a huge part of my life. It's basically been my whole life. And, I realized that music, though, the business side of it scared me a lot as far as kind of ruining that passion for me. And I realized more than anything, it was the entertainment I was addicted to. Because, man, after I started wrestling, that's like the ultimate form of it. It just, that's something I can handle as a business and a creative passion, and just look at it from a very professional perspective. So, yeah, man, it's wrestling's it. That's it for me. And on top of that, with Diamond Steel, I was able to combine that and use my guitar and do the whole rock and roll gimmick and all that in one. So that's the dream come true.
Isn't it funny? I grew up here close to Seattle, and I was totally into the band scene around here. And then about 10 years ago, I actually got involved with professional wrestling as well. And isn't it amazing the way the two lifestyles are, like, totally the same, except there's no rock and roll in wrestling?
Yeah, it's amazing. In fact, like, you know, everybody, you know, general public talks about, you know, the rock star stories and sit there and use phrases like party like a rock star and this and that. But honestly, you know, we toured with Skid Row, we toured with Puddle of Mud and Saliva, all these bands, old school rockers like Ace Frehley, you know, and they're nothing compared to most of these wrestlers. These guys are out of their mind. They're insane. I mean, everybody from the ones that are, I mean, they're so, I mean, I love them. They're great. And it's the freaking most wide variety of people and personalities. And it's insane. But I've never seen people, some people just party harder. And I mean, it's a really, I like it. Everybody does their own thing in wrestling as far as being their own person. And somehow we all get along and get together and produce, you know, what, you know, a good product, hopefully, anyways, what we love, you know. At the end of the day, we all love wrestling, and that's why we're there, so.
I hate to bring this up, but did you actually tour with Skid Row with Sebastian Bach or the newer lead singer for Skid Row?
I wish it was Sebastian Bach. It was Johnny Solinger.
Okay.
And,
okay.
But I have done, like, one show at Rave in Milwaukee where Sebastian Bach, like, he did a solo act, and we got to meet him, and we just opened, like, as a sidebar or something a long time ago.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I get that.
Who do you credit to training you once you got involved with professional wrestling?
Once I got involved in it, I give credit. Tracy Smothers kind of took me under his wing, took me on the road, and I owe that guy so much. I mean, he's everybody I've ever run into, I brought up his name, and everybody has the same reaction. My dad is a good guy. You know, he's awesome. I mean, all positive, just awesome stuff, and that's the truth. You know, I thought I was passionate about it and wanted it more than anything, but after meeting him, it just went to a whole other level, you know, and it opened a lot of doors for me. That he's responsible for everything professionally and personally. You know, I got involved with his, he kind of played matchmaker with his daughter, and that's, you know, who I live with, travel with. We have a great life together. I love it.
So is this the girl that they were talking about on the show, on the Techno show?
It is, yes.
Okay, cool. Speaking of Tracy, let me ask you a question about Tracy, because we've heard things on the internet here or there, and there are a couple things where apparently maybe there were reports where that he might not have been in the best mental health. So how is Tracy doing? You know, he's always been a favorite of mine. You know, I'm hoping he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he's doing great. I think he's kind of on a hiatus right now. We don't hear a whole lot from him, you know, here and there, but he basically works and does his thing. And, you know, summertime is usually the time that we would get together with him and go on the road and stuff. Like I said, he's kind of just taking a break from wrestling for a while. So we, I'm glad. It's good, you know, after years and years of this, it's amazing that he still does what he does. And it's cool that he can, you know, recognize, I guess, when his body needs a break and get away from it for a little bit. So.
Cool. Well, we're going to go ahead and, you know, the main part of the interview, most people want to hear all about Toughen Up, so we'll kind of move over to Toughen Up. And, we'll go ahead and let you start off asking the questions.
Yeah, what process did you go through to be a contestant on the show? I mean, how were you picked and where did you hear about it and stuff like that?
That's a good question. I think it's real important, you know, for other workers out there and, you know, fans and stuff to know. I got sent a text, like, from one of the guys up north that trained me initially and said, hey, they're bringing this back. Did you know? I said, no. And he said, there's some place online you can go to get an application, but I'll find out. So I found it on my own. It was the Reality Wanted website. Now, I wasn't sure if it was kind of a worked website. Like, I was looking at it, like, I don't know. I was looking at how people pay to subscribe to it and all that. And I went ahead and didn't sign up for it yet. I just kind of, you know, like, looked at it. And ironically, like, a day and a half later, Jesse Bell, my girlfriend, got a Facebook message, I think it was, in her inbox from one of the casting directors that just said, hey, we think both of you would be great for the show. So she went ahead and gave us that website and sent up the applications personally. So that's kind of cool that you just, you know, when people are looking out there, they see you have a good image or whatever and find you. And, you know, it all went from there. And basically, we just kept getting phone calls back, her and I separately. And eventually, they called me and said, hey, you're going to come out to L.A. And it was cool. And it's what else is awesome. There's no friction or anything between me and Jess. You know, we basically, you know, she as soon as they told me that, she just was so supportive and, you know, I ordered me this, and that, and I had to cancel some shows, and she went ahead and covered for me while I did that. It was cool. So that was the process, you know.
It's a shame they didn't pick her for the show, because that would have made for some great drama in the house where, you know, of course you're married, but at the same time you're competing against each other. I mean, I think they dropped the boat on that one.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. It would have been a really, it would have been a cool angle. I mean, I know we would have done really well with it and supported each other. And you know, with all those other crazy people in the house, I'm sure there would have been lots of drama. So, you know, good TV, I guess. But, you know, it's just, I don't know really what the last final decision was that made it that way, but who knows, you know, they have their reasons for picking who they picked. Whoever made it, I guess, so. Maybe she'll get on the second season. I don't know.
when they initially brought you out to L.A., did you have to, like, get the ring and take bumps or audition? Or how did that process go?
There were a few. We were kind of locked in a hotel for a while, like a week, where we couldn't talk to anybody or anything. And they kind of had, like, finalists. I think out of the 14 final people they picked, initially there were 30 that they brought out or something. And we had to go through multiple interviews with the USA Network, with the head USA director, WWE, all that. Kind of let them know your personality, who you are, why you want it, you know. And also went through all the medical testing, of course, too. And from that, they picked the top 14. You just kind of had to show them that you had something special to offer, that you really, really wanted it, and that you had the skills that you know, and more in the athletic condition that needed to be to perform on the show. So,
Interesting.
Go ahead.
Yeah, when y'all do the challenges, like outside of the house, you know, like with the dogs or stuff like that, did you ever, when they explain these challenges to you, did you ever wonder, like, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
You know, we all kind of, you can even catch on the show, they catch some looks from all of us, like the cheerleading especially, you know, we see cheerleaders come out, you show us all look at each other like, what in the hell, you know? But,
at least you got a new Stacey Keebler.
What's that?
I said, at least you got a new Stacey Keebler.
Oh, hold on, no, sorry man, you're breaking up a little, what was that?
Oh, I said, at least you got to meet Stacey Keebler.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, man. She was, that was something else. I just kind of looked out of the corner of my eye, and I was like, okay, it's Stacey Keebler. I remember having her poster on my freaking bedroom wall when I was like fifth grade or something. But they, you know, at the end of the day, I thought they were very, very creative because all of them had, you know, they in the end they had something to do. They were just a really extreme example of something to do with wrestling, and you know that it made for a good competition, and it kind of if you can step up and be willing to do that, it's cool. And then, like I said, in the end, you know, I guess it was entertaining to everybody to watch the show too, so it added a lot in that way. But some days I remember, you know, we had no clue what was going to happen, and I was like, man, for all I know, for courage, I would be riding bulls. Who knows, you know? I had that little medical release when we find out on the spot what we're doing. It's like, well, you know, if I die, I die. I don't know.
Now when you did the challenge with the dogs and you actually carried that sucker across the finish line, how satisfying was that knowing that, you know, the Beltamon had been messing with you up to that point?
Oh, man, I knew that tick fell off to no end. And, like, I purposely took a really stupid, silly, sarcastic approach to it. I think that made him even more mad. So, you know, whatever. I think his reaction to that on the show was, you know, he's a goof in the ring, out of the ring, this and that, whatever. But, you know, I was like, this dude had it out for me. I started off behind the eight ball, and pretty soon I was under the damn pool table with him, you know, from the beginning. So, you know, it's just, it was just one of those things, another, I don't know, little thing to make him mad and like me even less, I guess.
Now, why do you think that he took such a non-liking to you so early in the show, and what was your relationship with Booker and Trish?
You know, he, I don't know really why he took, you know, the disliking to me in the beginning of the show. I know, like, the first day of training, we walked in, and Booker, you know, pulled me aside before we ever did anything, gave me a pep talk about how I'm borderline size, but if my work's good and exceptional, and he sees I got a good look and all that, and it was pretty, you know, it was pretty uplifting. So I was actually the first person that got to get in the ring with him and took, like, a few shoulder tackles and stuff. And it was... Like, that's when they put the line in there where Bill just said, skid marks, you're up. You know, he talked to every single person that day before, like, in training as we were stretching and stuff, before, you know, we started actual training, except me. Like, he just didn't want to talk to me. I don't know what I did. Wouldn't shake my hand or anything, you know. And I don't know if it's just one of those deals he picked me out from the beginning, you know, didn't like me or thought I was full of myself or something. I don't know. There could be a million reasons, but the Booker was cool. Toward the end, you know, he ripped me up by the shirt and all that. I don't know what the deal was there. Maybe he thought I didn't take the midget basketball game seriously or whatever it was the day before. Dwarf, sorry, I got to be politically correct.
I was always curious about something. Oh, my bad. Go ahead. I was curious.
Yeah.
That when those vets would come to shake your hand. And this might be too much, not kayfabe, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Would they give you the quote-unquote wrestler handshake, or was it just a regular handshake? You know what I mean?
No, regular handshake. Every superstar I've ever met after this, even on indie shows, like some guys that work for the Fed and stuff, it's always mm-hmm. been a regular handshake. I mean, I understand you're kind of a reservation to ask about that for the kayfabe, but yeah, mm-hmm. it's always been you know, a firm, regular, respectful, like, handshake, and I just responded, you know, accordingly like that. You know, obviously, I'd much rather kind of, act, you know, do the, you know, if you don't know what they're going for, I'd much rather do the regular strong arm handshake than
right.
look really weak and then lighten up if I have to, you know.
Right,
and,
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a good question. That's a real good question.
Now, speaking of the show, you know, you had to basically live in the house with the contestants, and they made it look like you were feuding with Michael. And I really loved the ending of episode 3, where it basically came down to a promo off between you and him. And what was there really a tension between y'all, or was that just kind of edited to make it look like that?
You know, there was really, at first we got along okay. In fact, him and I were like, we would make jokes about, you know, there's so much food and stuff in the house, we'd make jokes about how, he's like, brother, you and I are the only ones staying on our diets, man, everybody else is pigging out, you know. Mm. And, but man, after, I think when it really started was that first elimination that I was in with Matt. Matt went home, him and Matt were kind of buddies, and I think we would have much rather seen me go than Matt. And Matt, I think, like, that day, when we were going in, he was like, well, you're going home, so I'll, you know, see you down the road. And,
right.
You know, I came back and Matt was gone. That was kind of the first little altercation, I guess. And after that, it was just there was a lot of stuff they didn't show as far, I mean, obviously there's a lot of, they couldn't make the whole show about him and I not getting along, but looking back, it's kind of funny. Man, some stuff he did made me so mad. Like, they gave me I had a guitar there I got to use, and that's a nice little way for me to relax anyway and get my mind off the stress of the environment. And I remember I kept waking up, like, I woke up one morning and it was gone, and I spent, you know, all morning looking for it. And I was more worried about training. I didn't care much about the guitar, but just, you know, it was irritating that that was probably the fifth or sixth thing he'd done, like, to rib me, that was just, you know, annoying. And I found it. It was strung way up on some, like, lattice work thing in the big hallway, like, probably 15 feet up, you know.
Oh,
so I baited it down. And he would also set, like, a few different alarm clocks by my bed, like, a minute off each, and I'd have to keep, like, I'd find two of them or something, or catch him doing it, because I'm a real light sleeper, so I'd catch him and turn him off. And then, sure enough, I didn't see the other two we put on the other side, so they'd go off and just stupid stuff like that. One point, I got smart, man. I hit his, I found his wrestling boots and hit those from him. And, you know, we would get in a lot of trouble if you show up at training with
our
boots. So I hit one behind, like, in the bedroom. We had curtains, you know, like the long floor-length curtains. I hit one behind there. And the other one, I remember I put in his dirty laundry bag. I was like, he'll never find this, you know. and then, you know what, like, I remember he was looking for him last minute, and me being a nice freaking guy was like, all right, that was actually the day that he hit my guitar, and I didn't know 100% he hit it yet, even though I knew it was him. He just directly to my face, like, full face, lie. No, I didn't hide it. I was like, man, all right, if he says no, I'm believing that you're good enough of a guy that you're not going to lie on national television, you know, in front of your wife and everybody else. So I'm going to believe you, and I hid your boots. Here they are. You know, I'm surprised they didn't put that in, but that was the ultimate example of the stuff I went through with that guy. But, and yeah, the promo, and we were both so surprised when Austin, you know, was like, hey, you know, you guys don't like each other. And that was really my chance to get back. And I've been, you know, I was always raised bigger man walks away kind of guy. And you know what? Like, the nice guy got is, you know, I got my turn. I'm not the wait for your turn type. I just like to find the right spot to make something impactful. And I think it worked well for me there. So.
Now, did you know any of the guys were actually, like, Andy and Christina, they were actually under contract? Did that ever come up during the show?
It never came up in the show. I had the feeling Andy and Christina knew each other because they talked a lot and, like, you know, joked around, buddy-buddy kind of thing. And a lot of inside jokes where they'd bring up other workers' names and stuff. You know, obviously that they'd worked the same show. So when go ahead.
Did you even know that it was Alicia Fox's sister?
I did find out. She went ahead and told me that when early on in the show, and I kind of like, you know, didn't really know how to take it. I just said, okay. And like I said, as far as those two talking, like every time I'd ask, you know, do you guys know each other from work at the Independence? Because I knew Evilise and I knew Matt from the Indies. We've worked some shows together. And they would always kind of be like, no, not really. And they wouldn't really be able to tell us what they did. So it came out at the end, you know, we figured out, oh, he's an FCW guy. So was she, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of, whatever, you know, they got him wherever they got him from.
Those two had that going for them, and then you had Rima, who had the Miss USA thing going for her. Do you feel that maybe Rima was getting more chances than she deserved, or what are your thoughts on Rima?
My thoughts on Rima was, you know, at first, like, I had a kind of didn't sink in what we were really doing, you know, there. Like, I didn't sink in that this was a national or international huge, like, production, but I mean, like, just this world-renowned competition, best wrestling school in the world type thing. So, like, when it didn't all sink in yet, the first couple of days, I didn't believe it was Miss USA. I'm like, what? You know, and I'm like, wow, you know what it is. And, I mean, she's pretty and stuff. I just didn't, you know, it seemed like too surreal, the whole thing. And the only thing I can say about her, she busted her butt, like, I mean, never wrestled before and went ahead and stepped up and really, you know, tried. That's all I can say. You know, I gotta hand it to her in that way, so.
Yeah, she seems pretty tough. She was just too green. But go ahead, Katrina.
Go ahead, Craig.
Thank you. So knowing Andy and Christina were under a developmental contract, when Andy ended up winning the whole thing, how did that sit with you?
You know, I didn't think much about it. I mean, it's really, the way I looked at it was both of them were not under the developmental deal or whatever for very long. They signed them away to do the show. I don't say a whole lot about it because I don't know a lot about it. And really, they were just picked as, you know, good potential workers and talent for the show, you know, whether FCW was a connection or not. I'm sure, you know, that's good that they had that school background and stuff, but I can't, you know, I guess I can't really say a lot about it because I don't know a lot about it. And, that's kind of where I have to leave that, I guess.
Okay, now you did get to come back for the last episode along with pretty much all the other characters, except for Rima, who had another engagement, but What kind of feel did you get in your standing with the WWE backstage? I mean, where do you think you stand with them right now? I mean, how far can we see Ryan in the WWE from right now?
You know what? I think I stand out as somebody that's got potential, you know, a good look, and definitely prove myself to whatever degree on the show that I can be, you know, entertaining and a good attribute to the, you know, the roster there. They a lot of respect from all the guys in the back. You know, they watched, most of them watched the show. I think pretty much all of them did, actually. Enjoyed it, thought we did a good job, thought we busted our butt, you know, and nothing bad said to me. You know, nothing but respect and, you know, a lot of kind of see you down the road comments. So keep my fingers crossed and more than anything, just work as hard as I can and got a lot of plans here for the future and definitely not stopping. It's more than anything, it's an overdrive right now, and it's not stopped until I'm back there again.
So, well, we're going to go ahead and start to wrap up, so I'll let everybody get one last question. And so, Couture, your last question?
Being in the bottom three, if Steve Austin was in front of you and asked you what your favorite match was, would you say Melina Fox against Melina against Alicia Fox?
Oh, my God, no. I'm glad I wasn't in that. One of the few bottom threes I wasn't in, guys. And I'm glad I wasn't in that one. I would have probably gone off under myself. That's a, oh, my gosh. I mean, I understand not having a lot of grasp on the history. I mean, shit, there's stuff that I don't know a lot about the history still as much as I've studied. But something like that is just, you know, I think it caught pretty good light on the show Yeah. Before I before she went, that Ariane went into the bottom three, she had made the comment to me and other everybody else, you know, it would be a good experience. She really didn't care about wrestling. I'm like, you can't be here if you don't wrestle. These trainers are here because this is their life and what they do and have given so much for it. And, oh, man. So.
Did you
yeah,
hear about that, like, when the other two came back from the house when she was after she was eliminated? Did you hear about what she had said, and or did you not hear about that till like after the show was over?
I'd never heard anything about it. I'm not sure if any other contestants really talked about. You know, I know a lot of them right after the bottom three were like that first one were like, "Ooh, what happened?" You know, and asked for details and all this. So they might have been told, you know, that she said that about the match. I never heard a thing until I actually saw the first episode and just, man, I was speechless. I had nothing to say about that. It made me laugh. I mean, nothing against Alicia Fox and Melina. They're great people,
right.
Great workers. And it's just one of those deals where I'm sure they would never, you know, they'd never say it either.
Right.
And,
how nerve wracking was it to be up in front of Steve Austin so much in the final three? I mean,
it's really intimidating. And if you watch those final three or those bottom threes, you see me like I see it in my face, anyways, and even sometimes the other contestants. We just look so tired, and I think it's because it's such an intense, like stressful environment right there. Because I mean, when you're on that house and environment, and like your life is to train and be the best wrestler there. That's your entire world. It's like your world ripped away from you. You have nothing if you don't, you know, and it's all symbolized by that belt, you know. So you're there. The best approach I could take was use it optimistically. You know, this is my chance to show Steve who I am. You know, we finally get kind of a one-on-one time, and he'll know why I deserve this. But those things lasted like, I mean, you're talking 1 to 2 hours. I mean, probably two on average. Like, just, I mean, it, of course, I can't use all the footage. You know, it's a long time, but it's intense, you know. It's just, he does nothing but break you down the whole time and have all the respect in the world for him, though. I mean, it's business of his life, and he's damn good at it, so.
Trey, your last question?
Actually, I've got two. If that's okay, Ryan.
All right.
That I've always heard that, actually. On other reality shows, when the season's over, we hear the contestants talk about how that the creators of the show meddled with their character, or they manipulated their character to make them look in a certain kind of light. Do you feel that the characters that we saw on television were the characters that you knew in the ring?
Another really good question. I would say the way I perceived it there and watched it on TV is pretty accurate, probably more accurate. I mean, I've talked to guys who were on the UFC things and all that since then, mm-hmm. and some of their stories versus mine, it's almost like it was a totally different type of show. I think the production USA side of the Tough Enough show really, really tried to keep it as natural and like organic as they could, where it's strictly based off our reactions. I know there were times, like me personally, where I did go off on people and did get mad and did get angry, and they never really showed a lot of them, just once in a while, and they more showed the nice guy pushover type thing. But overall, they still showed, the promo with Mike and this and that. Like, they showed all the, you know, kind of who I am still. And same thing with the other guy. You know, Mike's more of a straightforward, just kind of jerk. And they showed him being decent once in a while, because he is once in a while. But overall, he's a jerk. So that's the way it is. I think the only way people weren't represented like they could have been is people like Ariad and Matt that weren't in the competition very long to get who they are across. You know, they didn't get interviewed a whole lot. You know, they had less camera time. So, yeah, overall, I think like some stories I've heard and all that, they almost went completely against them. Like I watch it and it's very real, you know, so that's cool. I think that's really neat they did that, especially with all the footage they had to edit out and get points across, you know.
And my last question for this evening, right now I saw that you're working for OVW. And I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about that a little bit, and please, throughout your dates that you're going to be working the next month or so.
All right, well, OVW, started working there when I got back. You know, I figured it's good for all of us. It's local, you know, it's right where I'm from. And if the little bit of name value I have from the show can help their company draw more and stuff like that, they've got great talent, really good school, good guys to work with, and a big thing there, you know, Alf knows there. And he's got such an amazing mind for the business. Time of day to talk to him. I'm sure you guys know him, if not. And Nick Densmore as well is there, who's you know, Eugene,
yeah.
Has also got a great mind, you know, just awesome. Rick Rogers runs a school there, Rob Conway as well. And like I said, all of them together are just, and of course Danny Davis, and they produce a good product, but good talent out of there too. They're there to make it, you know, wrestling what wrestling should be. So I love being a part of it. I didn't, you know, pay to go to the school, so it's one of those deals where, you know, if I can just come in and like I said, help them draw and kind of get back to it a little bit in that way, then, you know, it's good to work with good talent and stuff, guys that went to that school and whatnot. And Jesse Bell's working there as well with Mickey Knuckles. So we go in and do Isabel. Jesse Bell and Isabel. But it's a really good they work as the STDs, the Smothers Twisted Daughters. it's a really good situation there. I like working with them and for them, and very cool. Kind of an honor to work under that name. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And as far as shows coming up, tomorrow we're in. I'm on a show with Matt Cross from the show. In Williamson, West Virginia, and that's the Williamson Armory. The day after is we're at KSWA at the Moose in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm trying to read the scratched up calendar, guys. It's insane. Of course, every Wednesday we're at OVW. Next Friday we're in Orland Park, Illinois. I'm reading this book, guys. This is insane. The day after, VIP in Oswego, Michigan. There's a pretty cool show we're working in Marion, Indiana. It's a fair in Marion, Indiana on Tuesday, June 21st. And they had some cool stuff. I know Jesse's coming out in the General Lee car from Dukes of Hazzard. So they have some cool stuff going on there. And, that's it.
So, Brian, I want to thank you for doing the show, and I very much appreciate the fact that you did stay a little longer than you told me you could. But I do have my very last question, and that is regarding the nickname Skidmark. I'm sure you did not like it when you were first called that in the show, but now that the show's over and the time that you've kind of become known by that name, what are your thoughts on the name, on the Skidmark's nickname?
Oh, man, it's bittersweet. I mean, it made people remember me, if anything. You know, if I didn't, I mean, it should be, I'd like to think I'm charismatic enough to be, you know, remembered on my own, but if anything, people are like, oh, it's a Skidmark guy. Do I like it? Absolutely not. You know, you can believe if I'm at a show, whether I'm playing the good or bad role, don't matter. Like, if somebody called me that, I'm stopping and looking at you. You know, it was, once again, goes back to Bill's, from the very beginning, just didn't like me, wanted to get in my head, and he did, and, there's a lot of, you know, I live with no regrets, but if I had any on that show, I feel like it was in my head from the beginning. I felt like I, for some reason, was less than anybody else, and that's not me at all. I've always been a high self-esteem, positive guy, so, you know, if it helps me be remembered, that's great, but if you call me it, I'm coming out and slapping everybody in the crowd.
I love what you did with that name, and you call your fans the Skid Marks. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to call me, you better be going along with it too.
Right.
I figured I might even take on the Macho Man approach. You know, it could be a Mark Madness. You know, we can go with this. But and also everybody check out, you know, my Facebook to see where I'm at. I keep all my dates updated there. It's pretty insane to read them all off right now, but because it's like 5 or 6 days a week. But like I said, just keep up on there, and that's where you can see me.
Oh, man, well, thank you so much, Ryan, and you have a good rest of the night, man.
I definitely will, guys. You guys take it easy. Thanks for having me, and hopefully be on again sometime soon. Rock
on. Thanks, Ryan. Rock out.
Bye, guys.
What a guy. I thought that went very well.
Yeah, what a decent dude.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting worried there because he told me 20 minutes, so I figured
yeah,
we'll go a little
me...
over 20 minutes, and then I'll start to wrap up, and then you guys just kept asking questions. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, he texted me, he said, yeah, I'll go 20 or 30, and here we are at the 40-minute mark, and he probably could have gone for another 20 minutes, to be honest with you.
Well, I did. When you said you had the second question, he's like, he made some of those kind of smart ass comments. That was pretty funny. But that was I enjoyed that. That was good, man. So maybe hopefully we can get some other of the contestants on.
I would call Skid Mark as a child.
That's because you didn't learn how to wipe your ass good enough.
No, I just started wearing dark underwear.
We were having such a great show until now. Sorry.
Yeah, well.
Oh well.
At least it didn't happen during the interview. I was almost expecting, I don't know how I didn't, like, bust out laughing out super loud when he mentioned Al Snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even hear that part. It must have been when two people were talking at once.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, that was a cool interview. And I'm actually so sad the show is on. I mean, what is the status of the show? Do we know? What's Milch has said, second season?
I can't see them not doing another season.
Well, I'm kind of worried.
I mean, I just can't.
They've announced it by now.
It's true.
So
I don't know how it did in the ratings or anything like that, or
I
if
think
they,
it's like,
you know.
I think it was pretty much averaging like every week with a 1.7, pretty much. I think it's
so Impact level. Impact stayed around for this long. Why wouldn't they keep telling us?
God, Impact is 1.1, 1.2. And
that's true.
Of course, they get the big rating Monday night, but that was mostly because I think that they rolled over into the start of Raw. So.
Yeah, I thought it was a great lead into Raw. I mean, since they took ROH off the air, it was like I got nothing to do from 5 to 6. You know what I mean? And I was just a perfect time slot. So. Hopefully, if they bring it back, they'll keep it right there.
Yeah, hopefully they bring it back, but I don't mind them actually taking a few weeks off or maybe even a month or two, because I think that was one of the mistakes with NXT. Where they just was right after the other one, I mean, This is the kind of show where you can kind of take a break on, because it is reality-based. It's not like, you know, you don't have to have matches every week on it. So as long as they can, you know, they're taking their time with it.
I'm thankful that you weren't on NXT. That's what
you
said. What a shit show that is. Zack Ryder gets more views on YouTube than NXT does.
Now you think now that they've had like success of this show, do you think now they start to try and manipulate it even more? Like, as of course, you know, Andy Cassina is under contract. Let's say they do season 2, and let's say 2 of the contestants are named Ricky Steamboat Jr. and Tyler. The hell is his name? I can't even remember what his name was. Tyler Black, you know,
yeah.
On the show. Yeah.
I hope not. I like the way they had this. I mean, if I know WWE is going to end up picking up probably 2 or 3 of those guys, and probably 1 or 2 of the girls. They just are. But it gives WWE a rub, but it also it helps those indie workers, man. Ryan's getting work right now, and he's capitalizing on the 15 minutes that the good Lord has given him. So I think it's cool. I think they should leave it just as is.
Yeah,
it's
still all the without Steve Austin. I mean, I shudder to think what the show would be like without him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be nowhere near as good. I mean, he does make the whole show. But,
and Bill DeMott, because I thought Bill DeMott stood out a lot during the season over like Booker T and even Trish, you know. I really like.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would like to see him back in the ring if he can still go, and I think he still can. I would totally get behind him getting another push of some kind. Did I ever tell you about the time Brian showed up at my house? We were watching pay per views, you know, way back in the day. Gosh, I can't even remember what year it was, 2002, 2003. He calls me from the road. He says, "Hey, I'm bringing a friend of mine. Is that cool?" I was like, "Sure." And this was years ago. I had lived in a little rental house down the road from here. And he shows
Taylor?
Up for the... What's that?
Are you talking about Taylor?
I'm talking about Taylor. And Brian knocks on the door, and I let him in, and Taylor Matheny, the runner-up from Tough Enough Season 1, is standing behind him, and I'm like...
Really?
Oh, hi. How's it going? Huh. And, she came in, sat on my couch, and drank some water and watched WWE pay-per-view, and I never heard from her again.
What was she doing there? I mean, was she friends with Brian or something, obviously?
She was going to go to wrestling school there, or she was going
yeah,
to go to...
She actually worked out with Tim Flowers, and Tim could have... I love Tim Flowers, but not a great mind for the business. I'll just leave it at that. He made some really stupid decisions, and one of them was letting a young man called Trey Lane leave, and that's Jack Evans. And the other one was not letting his guys work anywhere else but from him. And the other one was not seeing anything, and the runner-up from Tough Enough work on his shows. So
it was cute.
Yeah.
She was cute. I think, I don't know if she still is, but I think for a very long time she was with Brian Kendrick.
She's married to him.
Oh, she is married to him. Okay.
Yeah, and from there, from the time she had worked out with Tim and the PWF that was up here and also ICW that was up here, she went to All Japan, I think it was. Thank you. She worked some dates for All Japan.
I don't think it was All Japan. I think it might have been
Orion. Something like that. She went to Japan and worked. And,
yeah, she went to Japan. I know that. She was cheerleader Melissa.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. Anyway, so, she was in my living room at one time. It was so funny because my wife, like, pulled me in the other room. She goes, "Is that girl on TV?" And I said, "Yes, dear, that girl was, in fact, on TV." "Oh, cool."
As far as I'm with. I wish she would have won.
She was great. And,
I think she blew when she got too fucked up that one night, though.
Ooh, yeah, that's true.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was the year that Maven won. Never heard of him again. And that was also the year that Nydia won.
Nydia.
And she's not around anymore either. So.
Maven with Chris Winters.
They were both around for a long time. You can't say they were just never heard from again. She was on. I loved her and Jamie Noble. They were awesome.
I love when she was awesome.
She was awesome. She was awesome as a redneck, even though she was Hispanic.
There's redneck Hispanics, isn't there? Anyway,
I like when she was blind.
Oh yeah. Forgot about that angle.
Did she marry Eric Angle?
I have no idea.
I want to say they were dating at one time. Maybe they got married or something. I don't know.
Wow.
I know at one time Buddy Wayne had a risque photo of her after her boob job. I'll just leave it at that. Jim Cornette said it.
Didn't a bunch of them do one of those kind of like dating reality TV shows? And she was like on
the
Maven did.
No,
oh,
it was
Maven.
Maven was on. I can't even remember the name of the show, but it was like a bunch
Blind
of
date?
You know, something like that. All these knuckleheads trying to win the love of girl.
No, Jackie
X.
Gato was on there.
and it was on like VH1. That's all I remember.
Yeah, a bunch of them were on, because I'm pretty sure Nydia was on it. I'm pretty sure Jamie Noble was like calling her during the episode or something.
Hmm.
I remember
Maven for sure.
Yeah. But
Nydia and Jamie Noble were like the best white trash couple since Bertha Faye and Harvey Whippleman.
Jamie Noble was awesome. I mean, he was always awesome. Dude. It was just too bad he was so little and they never really gave him took him too seriously, but he was always awesome.
Yeah, he worked just, I know he borrowed his style from Benoit, and think of that what you will, but man, that guy could work. Still can, I'm sure.
Well, also that first Tough Enough was Chris Dawinski. I mean, you know, how much it is in all this, like, concussion stuff, if he had never been, you know, on there and something like that.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And Doss Matthews still has a job.
Mm-hmm. He sure does. I was going to say, and one of these days, Chris Nowinski is going to get Lance Storm's brain. Think about that.
that's actually kind of funny. But, we'll go ahead and change the subject from Tough Enough to some other stuff here. We haven't actually had a real show in probably like 3 weeks, so I don't know. What do you want to talk about, Chair?
I watched the interesting movie last night.
The Dark Crystal?
Dark Crystal, too. That was awesome. I signed up for Netflix, and I've been, you know, checking out all the stuff on there. I came across this movie, super horror movie. I came across this movie called The Human Centipede.
I've heard about this, but I haven't got up the gumption to watch it.
Well, I watched it last night, and I don't know what kind of people come up with these ideas. basically, you have this surgeon. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ed?
I know what you're talking about. He basically sold people together, mouth to ass.
Yeah, he kidnaps these three people, and he's a surgeon, so he surgically attaches one's lips to this person's anus.
I see.
And so you got three people here. You got the person in the front has actually got it pretty good, you know? I mean, their mouth ain't even touching nothing. So, and then one of the girls tried to escape, and the doctor caught her, and said, just for that, you're going in the middle. So, and so of course he starts training these three like a dog, and it like takes him out for walks in his yard and stuff. It's really, really creepy. And then the guy on the front, you know what was going to happen. It was just that time he ate something and said, I got to take shit.
Jesus
person
Christ.
In the middle is going through God knows what. And it's just, it doesn't even show anything, but it's just like the visual. I mean, you get it in your mind, and it's just like, oh, God, it's creepy as hell, man. I don't know where people come up with these things. I am looking forward to the sequel, though. It's coming out soon.
Oh, man. But, Craig, what do you want to talk about this?
I watched that on Fast Forward, by the way. I just kind of flipped through it.
Sure. Oh, Lord. Man, I could talk about hundreds of things. We could talk about my U2 experience from last week, but let's talk about UFC this weekend.
This weekend? I hope you mean this weekend and not fucking 2 weekends ago, because goddamn that show sucked. And that was their live.
Oh, come on. The one fight was good. Clay Guida and... hold on. Clay Guida and help me. What was the other guy?
Well, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the one I was at live with your little midget friend Brian and everybody else.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that was no
that
good.
That one. That was the no only, vibe.
The only good thing about that show is...
it's like I didn't meet Evan Bourne. Invited Limo with Evan Bourne. That was the only good thing about that show.
I was going to say, the only good thing about that show is I went out to a buddy's house, and he wasn't able to get it, so we drove to his girlfriend's house to watch it, and she lived on the water, and we got to watch it in this really nice place with these doors that opened out to the sea, and we got to watch the sun, so it was cool. Anyway, so the fights this weekend is the ones I'm talking about, the Dos Santos and Shane Carwin fight. So it's kind of a pick'em fight to me. I like both men very well. I think Shane Carwin, if he gets a good punch in, he's going to end up winning the fight. But I think I'm going to have to put my money on Dos Santos.
I'd have to agree.
You stay out of this. You don't even like MMA.
Well, you have to, because Shane Carwin is coming off of like two different injuries, including the one
right.
that just retired Edge. And he's coming in 30 pounds lighter, and, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean instead of going 4 minutes, he can go 5 minutes or 6 minutes? I mean, unless he scores a lucky punch in the first, I'll give him the first round in 2 minutes of the second round. If he doesn't get that lucky punch in by then, he's just going to get I don't think he'll get knocked out, but he's just going to get he's just going to get the punches are going to come nonstop. He's going to get roughed up. I don't know if Dos Santos has never really seemed like to me like a guy who's had that super knockout power. You know, I mean, he hits hard, but his knockouts really are. He doesn't really have that many knockouts. You know, so he'll win by blitzing him with punches, but I don't know if he'll knock him out. Of course, you know, Carwin could gas really, really bad and get knocked out. So, I mean,
true.
I don't know. If he doesn't get that lucky punch in that first 7 minutes, it's over.
Yeah, this show's in Vancouver, which is, you know, literally 3 hours up the road. And last week, Brian texted me, he's like, you want to go to the fights? And I said, if you would ask me a month and a half ago, absolutely. But since you're asking me now, and Brock's not in the fight, and this and that and the other thing, I'll just sit home and watch it. I'm good. So, got a string of, I don't know, about three shows in a row that have just been okay, and the last pay-per-view was, oof, no good.
Tell me about it. The MMA is finally, you know, all the shows have finally caught up to them. I mean, you know, Ultimate Fighter, Stuck in the Rings. I mean, there's so many shows that now you have shows that are actually bad. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I don't know. The bubble's bursting a little bit as far as MMA, as far as the dog is concerned. I mean,
I am interested to see if they, if they do end up buying G4, the G4 network. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, the G4 network is for.
It won't mean
a
damn thing.
Play video games.
It won't mean a damn thing because I've never heard of that channel until I read the article.
I hope they don't cancel the tech of the show.
Also on the card this weekend, I got Florian versus Nunez. That's going to be a good fight. Donald Cerrone is on the show. I think he's pretty awesome. So he's fighting pretty much a nobody. But Stout and Edwards should be a good fight. And that's pretty much it. So not a huge card this weekend, but I think it's gonna be a fun one.
I think it's the sleeper card of the year.
What's that?
I think it's the sleeper card of the year. Just my opinion.
In other words, you're gonna sleep right through it.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
MMA equals Ambien in my house.
Wow.
Not my ass.
From the last pay per view, I can't believe you. That shit almost put me to sleep, and I was there live.
Yeah, that one
anyway.
Was bad.
Yeah. But anyway.
So Ed, what do you want to talk about since we've got 30 minutes of time left or something?
Actually, like 21 minutes of time. So let me get the plug out of the way already. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows, like the Angry Mark Show and the Milk of Minutia Show, and a whole lot more. So everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. And as far as what I want to talk about, I wanted to talk about the X-Men movie, but I haven't been able to go see it yet, so can't talk about that.
Can I send you a link?
Do you have one? Yes, send me a link, please.
Oh, shit.
Yes, I highly would appreciate a link.
Okay, I'll look into that here in a little bit. I'll probably find a good one. Not that I encourage you to watch it. I'm just going to send it to you, and you can send your email back.
Hey, I actually got a couple scoops regarding two WWE workers, but I don't know if I should share them with everybody.
Okay, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I could tell you each Bella is fucking, but I'll go ahead and let that slide to another episode. that's the real scoop. Dave Meltzer ain't got that shit.
The show is quickly falling off a cliff. We might as well wrap it up.
Yeah. Well, do we have anything coming up in the near future here?
And I'm guessing you're directing that to me, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, next week I've got one former WWE/WCW worker on the line, and just waiting for him to give me the heads up. But if that is not the case, I would like to do a review of the WCW-ECW invades WWF angle for next week if we don't get this guy on the phone.
I mean, I got to watch stuff again.
But you got to watch some cool shit, though. There's some good stuff in there. As much as people say that angle bombed, and I did in the long run, there was some goddamn good shit in there.
That's just depressing.
There was some okay stuff. I got off on the wrong foot. I was in the Tacoma Dome the night that they actually had their first show. It was Booker T versus Buff Bagwell. And as Brian stated in one of the last shows of the week, I called him and said the WWF just killed this town. So it brought me back to some memories. I think we should kind of, you know, just review some of the things that happened and what and where and the pay-per-view that accumulated the whole thing. So
it is a 10-year anniversary, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some people up there in Pacific Northwest and Washington and stuff, y'all, I mean, I don't know, maybe something about you people up there. I mean, y'all just kill some of these wrestling things. I mean, kill the invasion.
Yeah.
Thought that WrestleMania that year didn't do good at Safeco Field? Got a little buy rate.
And Vince blames that on the town itself, not the fact that the show was just okay.
You have a crazed, delusional maniac who totally shut down a press conference.
Mm. Thank you, Brent Kremen. Yeah. Yeah.
Might be planning on watching, they got all these, on Netflix, they got like a bunch of these WWE documentaries. I'm going to check out the true story of WrestleMania here in just a little bit.
That was bad. I heard it was no good. Or it was embellished quite a bit. Because you're getting it from Vince's perspective on everything. And
Well, you know what? Well, then tell Dave Meltzer to make his own The History of WrestleMania DVD.
Dude, if you could get Dave and possibly Brian together to do the documentary and they could have access to the WCW and WWF footage, it would be phenomenal.
No, Dave and Greg Cornette would be phenomenal. Brian would be fucking it up.
I said maybe Brian because Brian's memory sucks.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
He can't remember anything. I texted him 2 days ago about a thing and he still hasn't got back to me. Text him about 20 minutes ago and I said, hey, what's up with this thing that I texted you about 2 days ago? I said, when did you send that text? Never mind. I'll see you on Sunday.
Now, let me ask this real quick. I'm shocked that nobody during the Alberto Del Rio segment on Monday night, as soon as the guy dressed as Big Show came out on the stage, I knew it was Ricardo Rodriguez. I'm just like shocked nobody could see that right away. Did you guys have a hard time
I did not see it, I'll be honest with you. I thought it was some indie worker guy that they, you know, paid $250 to. I had no idea, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was smoking some fucking hydro at the time, so for the first 3 seconds, I actually thought it was the Big Show until I actually looked at it, and then I knew it was Ricardo.
Well, that's even worse. Won't you help this man? He has a problem. Please send checks and money orders.
For a few moments, you had to go to Big Show.
You should have seen me in Las Vegas, Craig. You should have seen me in Las Vegas. So shit, there's video on the website. What am I talking about?
There's a reason I don't go to Vegas.
Yeah, I was having issues in Vegas.
Yeah.
And but I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. We only got 15 minutes to go. So, Contreras, any final thoughts?
No.
Craig, any final thoughts?
Oh, might as well. Last Saturday, I got to go see U2, and we bought some VIP tickets months ago. And I just want to tell anybody who is in the States that they're going to be in for the next 15 tour dates, go check this band out. They were phenomenal. I just had an amazing time, and they do the show right. That's enough.
I've heard they're a decent band.
I'm sorry?
I've heard they're a decent band.
They are a very decent band, and they put on a phenomenal show, and it's not a concert, it's a show. When you can see their stage setup actually poking out of the stadium that they're in, because the thing is so huge, it's just a phenomenal, spectacular spectacle. It's just insane, and they sounded great, and Lenny Kravitz opened up the show, and he was phenomenal, and I just had a great time, and I will not soon forget.
There's actually a I'm not going to it, unfortunately, because Vegas broke me in more ways than one, but tonight here in town, fucking Motley Crue and Poison.
They're going to be here in a couple, about a month or so, they'll be up here. I think I might drag the missus to go check that out.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking too much about it, you know, kind of keeping it out of my mind, but the last couple of days, you know, they've gone into overboard with the advertising for it, so it's like,
yeah,
man, why am I not going to this concert? Jeez.
But, you know, there's going to be a lot of chicks there. It's going to be a lot of
concert.
What's that?
I've never actually been to a concert.
What is wrong with you, man?
I don't see the point.
I don't go to a whole lot now. I mean, I'll go to a few here and there. I'm not like Craig who goes to everything. But during the mid to late 80s, early 90s, I hate every hair band that ever hit San Antonio.
Me too.
I mean, I've seen a who's who of heavy metal like you wouldn't believe.
I actually have like every ticket stub for every show I've ever been to, and I counted them up the other day, and it's close to 250 shows that I've been to.
Damn.
And I'm not talking club shows. I'm talking go to an arena, check out Cinderella, go to an arena, check out David Lee Roth, go to an arena. You know what I mean? Not hole in the wall. I'm talking big bands. Everybody from like I said, Warrant to Elton John. So just everybody.
You know, speaking of, you just mentioned Cinderella, and then I mentioned Poison a minute ago. As far as value for the money, the best concert that I ever went to, because this concert was $5, five mm-hmm. fucking dollars. It was a little outside, it was called Hudson Gardens Theater, the outside thing, and it was three bands, and the first opening act was Poison, and Poison's nice. Album hadn't even been released yet. You know, they were just barely playing the single for the very first single.
Doctor, you mean? Doctor,
no, that wasn't. No.
No,
it
I'm
was
quite
tough.
Oh, never mind.
Well, it was right before they put out quite tough. And
okay.
But it's like they came out, and me and my friend are like, damn, you know, these guys got potential. I mean, we saw big things for them. And then the next band was Cinderella, and their album had only been out for like 2 weeks, you know. So
mm-hmm.
That was badass. And then the main event was a certain heavy metal hair band from Japan called Loudness, and they were actually headliners. Yeah, and it was an awesome concert. I mean, just two bands. You saw two bands that you knew were just gonna be something. You know, there was no doubt about it. And then of course, Loudness was pretty cool, and the guitar player was pretty good for Loudness. And you know, they mainly only had that one hit, Hang On, but $5, man, you couldn't beat that shit. You can't go out. You can't see three bands like that no more for no $5.
The first time I ever saw Pearl Jam was at the Moore Theater. It was the night they filmed the Even Flow video, and if you've ever seen the video for Even Flow, you know how amazing and energetic that show was. That concert cost me $9.
Wow. It's insane when you think about it, because the tickets used to be like $15, $20,
yep.
Maybe $30, you know, if you were like right there, you know. And, nowadays,
the first
you're looking
show,
at like you...
The first show I ever went to was David Lee Roth and Poison. Bret Michaels broke his leg in Spokane, and they didn't actually play the show. I saw David Lee Roth on his very first solo tour. I think I paid $22 out the door for that show. I went and saw U2 last weekend. We got the VIP tickets and got them through a charity auction, $200 a piece.
Wow. That's a 100% increase there?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Something like that? Yeah, it's just ridiculous now. I mean, it's like, and everything's going on, like the spurt, like the basketball. Like a few years ago, there was a problem with my season tickets for the Spurs, and for some reason, my tickets didn't come through, so I had to buy the ticket for the very first game of the year, and that was a game that they were getting the ring. So I told them, give me the best tickets you got. They gave me second row behind the bench for $200-something. So I'm right behind the bench for $200-something. This year I went with Barb and her kid, and I think I played over probably close to $300 for being halfway up. I mean, exactly halfway up. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the NBA is ridiculous when it comes to their ticket prices. But, concert tickets are, like I was saying, Poison and Motley Crue are rolling through here, and I think that's $85 a pop. So it ain't cheap anymore.
I don't think
going
to sporting events either.
Oh, heck no. You want to go to an NFL game, you got to drop at least a C note to get in the door.
Well, that's not happening.
Well, unless you, get them off scalper.
Unless I got I could sit up in a box seat or something with food and shit. I have to mingle with all the regular people.
when I had Spurs tickets, when I had the season tickets for the Spurs, my tickets actually only came out to just over like $10 a ticket. So it only cost me like four something for like the whole year. And I did see a lot of memorable moments. You know, when you see a game 7 in the NBA Finals, and your team come back from being down. I mean, you can't beat that. Or $400 to watch that. That's a bargain right there. But that was a cheap
was
piece, you know.
Was Dallas in the
finals
this year?
I was up there. What's that?
Was Dallas in the finals this year?
Fuck Dallas. Fuck the Mavericks. They're gonna fucking lose tonight. They're gonna choke it away because they're choking bitches.
I'm just asking.
They've already been to the finals once. They're fucking up three games, and the motherfuckers choked it all and lost it. We got to the finals four fucking times. Did we let it piss away? Fuck no, we won because we got the fucking balls in San Antonio, not like fucking Dallas Mavericks. Fuck
what
Dallas.
The fuck are you yelling about?
You know what I
like
is when I love it when a guy who has never been on a court and says, you know, we did this and we did that. That's my favorite.
I fucking paid years. I've seen a ticket for years, goddammit. I have the right to say that shit. They sent me a ring, Craig. I have a ring.
Did you ever think of asking for that?
Championship.
You cannot say we.
I put money
you didn't
in,
do
in
nothing.
Your pocket.
Except for get high and watch the game. That does not count as participation.
Dude, I stood standing in the air, yelling my head off for 48 minutes, encouraging everyone else to yell. I helped them win that last game seven, dude.
Oh, you know, when they win a game, I remember them coming up to the microphone. You know, we couldn't have done it without Ed and San Antonio up there in the stands, man. He was, you know, he's the backbone of this team. Yeah, I totally remember that. It wasn't you,
yeah.
It was them.
It's pretty cool that the city I'm living in. It did way better than Ed City.
They ain't going to win it. Don't mean nothing.
Oh, I don't care if they win or not. Shit. I don't give a shit about no basketball.
Hey, weren't we wrapping up this abortion? I mean, the show.
You like how the Christian makes the abortion joke caricature?
Okay.
All right. We'll go ahead and wrap it up, make Craig happy here. So everybody come back next week. We may or may not be at our regular time, but we'll let you know plenty of
That's
time
right.
and plenty of notice. So we will
Let's
be
just move
kissing.
The show to Thursday.
We'd have to talk about that because that's Stevie's show tonight. So, like I say, we can
an easy guy.
Well,
we can
going for ratings or something.
No, he'd just be like, well, it's my network. I have to be on the air, even though we outdraw him by 10 times. But
hey, stop! It's not a contest.
Anyway,
love you, Stevie.
And yeah. Stevie, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for those numbers, Stevie. By the way. And but anyway, everybody check out the Angry Mark Show, which will be starting here. I don't even know when it starts, but it is later tonight.
Angry
so
Mark isn't a publicly traded company. They don't have to give you numbers.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to believe I'm not going to get them, but hopefully I'll get them soon. But anyway, everybody, I'll come back next week. We'll either be on Friday or maybe we'll be on Thursday, but we will be on. We will have a show. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
Johnny Ringo.
What's going on, John?
I love you, Johnny Ringo.
You must be Ringo.
Keep your hand on your gun.
Johnny Ringo. Deadliest pistol ever since Wild Bill.
Damn, what was his name again?
Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ringo, are you still on the line?
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
Well, I would like to say that I hate everyone more now than ever before, except Johnny Ringo. He's the only guy that I like.
Hey, this is Johnny Ringo. How are y'all?